for 9 minutes past eight now. I'm back to our top story locally this morning. The story of an Australian woman in Farnham facing possible deportation and separation from her severely disabled daughter.
It is breaking me down. You know, I'm getting quite emotional. Close friends are seeing the change in me because it's like someone pulling the carpet from under your feet.
Well, that's Lisa Knopps, who's been living in Surrey for the past 3 years. But she says she's now had her passport confiscated, all because she filled in a visa application incorrectly. If she's forced to leave the country, Lisa will be separated from her daughter, who relies on her for day-to-day care. Our reporter Matt Treacy's been to meet them.
Lisa, Michael and daughter Sally have lived all over the world, but when work pulled Michael back home to Britain, they decided they wanted to stay here. Sally has severe intellectual impairment and autism. Lisa's her full-time carer. She's also Australian and thought applying for a visa to stay in Surrey would be straightforward.
And then I got a horrible thing in the post with a mugshot of myself saying I'm living in the UK unlawfully.
The problem stems from a payment applicants need to make to the NHS. Australians had been exempt from that, but months before Lisa filled in her forms, the rules changed. A letter chasing the payment was missed, and now she faces deportation.
If an error is made, you give a person opportunity to correct it. You do not break up a family over one little bit of paperwork, you see. And as soon as we were aware of the mistake, we paid it straight away.
Well, this morning, Lisa tells us that until recently, she's had hardly any communication with the Home Office.
They never explain anything. They just say that as an exceptional case, they will be reviewing our application. When we asked them before, they said, oh, no, it's out of our hands. It's in the court system. And we appealed to Jeremy Hunt's office. And they were good. They got on the case straight away. But again, they said, oh, no, it's out of our hands. But I have to do monthly check-ins at this immigration house in Hounslow. And they have been putting me under pressure to leave. So they have even, they've been interfering at that level.
We heard there with Matt's report about your daughter, Sally. Has she picked up on the strain?
End of last year, she went funny. She had some big seizures. And we weren't, the teachers were asking, the caseworkers were working, was she picking up the stress at home? I mean, you have to act a lot with Sally because you don't want her to pick up things. But it was fairly stressful and has been. And my husband has been very flat for the whole time.
And how important is it that you're with her?
Sally, well she's, we're very, very, very close. Yes, she's 18 and a half, so legally they say she's not a minor anymore. We can be separated. But intellectually, she's like a one-year-old. So I'm her main carer. She goes to school here. She's got another year left of school and she's been transitioned into an adult program. But if I wasn't here, Sally would really fall apart because I'm her... Sally has one word in her vocabulary and that's mama. Okay, mama can mean many things, but it is significant that it's mama.
What did you actually do wrong initially? What did you leave off the form?
I didn't pay the health. There's a health surcharge, which I think is a great thing. I think everyone should pay it. And it's £500 a year for any foreigner living in the UK. But up until, I think it was March or April, don't quote me, something like the beginning of last year, because I did my application in June last year, Australians were exempt from paying it because there was a reciprocal health agreement between the two countries. The law was changed and I wasn't aware of it. And at the time, it wasn't on the, you know, the Home Office has it quite visibly shown now on the website, but it wasn't then. So I just didn't know I had to pay it. And so during the time that I hadn't paid that health surcharge fee, I did send my application in on time. But because I hadn't paid the health surcharge fee, they held on to my application waiting for me to pay it. And I missed a piece of paperwork that they sent back saying it hadn't been paid. It was part of a whole lot of forms, but it was back to front to the rest of them. It looked like the inside of the envelope. So the other stuff I acted on straight away.
But you're kicking yourself.
Kicking myself, but you cannot communicate with the Home Office. They don't communicate with you.
But they have called you now. You heard from them yesterday. So let's clarify.
For the first time.
Let's clarify the position. So where are you now this morning that you weren't 24 hours ago?
that they're going to reconsider my case based on the evidence.
So that's a movement, isn't it?
That's huge, yes. Because as my lawyer says, and we meet all the criteria for me to be here. There are criteria such as, you know, is it a proper marriage? Yes, it is, apart from, you know, domestics. Does Michael have the financial income for us to live here? Yes, he does. They don't accept his income he's a contractor. But he has enough income from other sources that we've been able to show. He has properties that we let out. So all those things we meet, but they refuse to budge on this one paperwork issue. And it's almost that they're so focused now on getting migration numbers down that they've forgotten the Civil Service Code of Conduct. You must be accountable. There must be some sort of transparency. If someone's made a mistake, give them the chance to correct it.
Well, that's Sally Knopps, an Australian woman living in Farnham, facing possible deportation and separation from her severely disabled daughter.
So what can be done in cases such as this? Well, Bryony Rest is an immigration lawyer at David Gray Solicitors. Morning.
Good morning.
How common are cases like this?
Well, they are increasingly common because, as Lisa comments, the Home Office is so driven by their targets to reduce net migration. They do seem to make a lot of decisions which don't make a lot of common sense. For example, in Lisa's case, rejecting application is invalid, which I think is what's happened because of non-payment of one fee. I suppose the problem is that they'll say, well, this fee needs to be paid, and we gave Lisa the opportunity, although she never got the letter. But there does seem to be a big focus on just driving forward with refusing applications or rejecting them as invalid without any look at the common sense and factors of a particular case, which I think is very frustrating for applicants.
Yeah, and it goes on for so long. And we contacted the Home Office, and they do actually now say that her application is being reconsidered.
Yes,
does that sound
great news.
Encouraging?
It does sound very encouraging. And I think Lisa pointed out that she'd met most of the requirements of the rules, like she's got enough funds to support herself, she's in a genuine marriage. Those are all factors which are contained in statute in the immigration rules which must be met. So as long as Lisa meets those, you know, it sounds hopeful that her application should be processed successfully now. Well, I hope very much so, but it does seem, you know, as I say, a lack of common sense that applications are rejected in circumstances like this just for a lack of one bit of paper or non-payment of one fee.
You work with people like this all the time. I mean, what impact does it have on their families?
Well, it can have a huge impact. I mean, in Lisa's case, obviously, it impacts upon not only her, but her husband, but particularly her daughter, who's very vulnerable. And, of course, the problem is, as Lisa pointed out, that Sally is no longer a child. And so, in the Home Office speak, this means she's no longer needs to be considered as a first consideration. The law that applies to taking children's rights over other rights first no longer apply to her, even though she's very vulnerable. But it's this lack of common sense and also the lack of ability to speak to somebody at the Home Office, which is very, very difficult for most applicants. You know, something goes wrong and they can't actually pick up the phone and sort it out, even though they're very willing to.
Bryony, thank you. Bryony Rest, immigration lawyer at David Gray Solicitors.